This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The state crop report was released yesterday. Farmers continued with fall tillage and fertilizer applications last week as the end of the growing season has finally approached us. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.32 inches, 0.49 inches below normal. The average temperature was 46.3 degrees, 4.3 degrees above normal. There were 5.2 days suitable for field work for the week ending November 15th, and topsoil moisture supply was rated at 4% very short, 22% short, 69% adequate, and 5% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 5% very short, 31% short, 60% adequate, and 4% surplus. Winter wheat emerged reached 90%, 7 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. Winter wheat condition was rated 1% very poor, 7% poor, 31% fair, 50% good, and 11% excellent. And now with a local crop update for you, we will hear from agronomy manager for CHS Shipman, Reagan Weir. Reagan, not a lot going on right now, but you guys have been busy with a few things.
Yes, we had a really nice run this fall, as the farmers did. We had a long spell of harvest that we had very few rainouts, so we got a lot of good data in from our farmers. We collect a lot of yield data, and we run it through our yield point system that we'll collect that data and put fertilizer based on a prescriptive deal back onto their fields based on what crop they're going to go to the next year. So we're putting the R4 theory into use there, with the right product at the right place at the right rate at the right time. So we've got a lot of that completed for our fall business. The fertilizer run was very good, actually. The fields were in great shape, and so we've got those nutrients out there ready for the next year's crop, or if the farmer wanted to work them in, he could get that done. We've also had a decent amount of spraying for the winter annuals. In our area, if a guy doesn't work his ground, we get a real significant green up in the springtime if it's wet and when it warms up. And so we have many guys that spray those winter annuals in the fall to keep those weeds and those fields fairly clean. So it'll minimize the amount of tillage they have to do to prepare their seed beds in the springtime. So we've got many of those fields also done, and there's a few of those yet to go, depending on how the weather goes.
And also something that you've just gotten started with and also kind of slowing down because of the rain is anhydrous application.
Yes, we did just get started. Our farmers are very good about waiting until we see the average temperature, the average maximum temperature at a 4-inch level of 50 degrees. So we just have seen this getting real close to that in the last 4 or 5 days. So we've had a pretty decent little run in those 4 or 5 days. And we probably generally get about a third of our ammonia on in the fall in our trade territory. We're probably not quite to that, but we've got a really nice run over the last 4 days to get a good jump on the spring.
Okay. Anything else you've been working on or that you'd like to add?
Well, we did see a lot of really nice results from the yield point system, where we're looking at areas in the field and creating management zones so we can treat the areas of the fields differently and help the areas that can grow more crops do so, and the areas in the fields that have had some issues or for whatever reason, drainage or whatever, that haven't been producing quite as well, but we're not feeding those quite as heavily. So I think that program's working very well in combination with the plant health products that we're putting on, really produced nice yields this year.
Has there been any planning for the 2016 growing season yet, or is that just starting?
Oh, yeah, the planning is underway very heavily. Guys are finalizing a lot of their seed plans this year right now. The nutrient plans are in some places out there, and in some cases not completed yet. But it's definitely, with the pricing down and a little bit of downturn in that, they're really scrutinizing all costs and what makes them money and what doesn't. And so using their data that they've been collecting over the last few years, it becomes just invaluable in the importance of how they make their decisions on their farm.
That update was from CHS Shipman Agronomy Manager Reagan Weir. Program benefits for the 2014 crop year will be issued for approximately 54,000 Illinois farms enrolled in the new safety net programs established by the 2014 Farm Bill. The programs, known as Agriculture Risk Coverage, or ARC, ARC, and Price Loss Coverage, or PLC, are designed to protect against unexpected drops in crop prices or revenues due to market downturns. According to USDA Illinois Farm Service Agency Executive Director Sherry Giamanco, the new safety net programs provide help when price and revenues fall below normal, unlike the previous direct payments program that provided funds even in good years. Similarly, the county-based option of ag risk coverage protects against lower revenue from a combination of price and yield. Payments by county can vary because average county yields differ from county to county. Approximately 156,000 farms throughout the state participated in the programs, and details on the price and yield information used to calculate the financing assistance from the programs are available online at the FSA website. On Friday of this week, there will be a cover crop roundtable and tour with the University of Illinois Extension in Montgomery County. That's starting out at the Hillsboro Extension office. And there will also be a roundtable and cover crop tour next week as well on Tuesday, November 24th in Jersey County. And that's starting out at the Jersey County Farm Bureau. So what's going on at these meetings? Well, there will be cover crop initiatives for Illinois. They will share research and an update for you about those. A speaker will be there, Woody Woodruff from the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, to discuss the Upper Macoupin Watershed Project. Also, roundtable discussion for farmers and landowners regarding farming practices. The main focus will, of course, be on cover crops. And then there will also be a driving tour so you can see those cover crops that farmers are using. If you're interested in attending, you can call the Hillsboro Extension Office for the Montgomery County meeting at 217-532-3941. And if you would like to attend the Jersey County meeting next week, Tuesday, you can call the Jerseyville Farm Bureau office at 618-498-9576. And again, Montgomery County cover crop tour and roundtable is this Friday, November 20th. Jersey County is next Tuesday, November 24th. Congress is working to pass a long-term comprehensive highway bill by Thanksgiving, but a key farm group says so far the bill is turkey. Others disagree, including the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which said it will oppose a highway bill that lacks meaningful reform to outdated truck weight laws. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association argues outdated federal laws force trucks to carry partially full loads, and it also says that forces more trucks than necessary on the road. Key ag lawmakers, like top Senate Ag Democrat Debbie Stabenow, argue that heavier and longer trucks are not safe. Dale Moore of the American Farm Bureau Federation said changes do need to be made.
We certainly support efforts to make those work better, increase the truck weight limit so it works better for, the commodity, the agricultural haulers that have to deal with those issues. We have not yet, raised that to the point where, it overshadows some of the other, potential improvements that we're expecting in the bill.
Moore says Farm Bureau is hoping for a quick House and Senate deal that, on balance, provides real help for agriculture. But Moore sees much in the pending bills worth having, like the Senate's improving competitiveness of U.S. ports and others in the House.
There's also some regulatory relief that provides for the livestock exemption to the 30-minute rest break that is currently required, and provides the Secretary of Transportation to grant some other exemptions for hours of service and of limitations that are currently in law. And then there's also a provision in the House that protects states from losing federal funding if the state or a state regulatory agency provides relief to, say, covered farm vehicles and drivers or something in that regard.
There's also an exemption in both bills for hazardous materials, such as fuel for custom harvesters and other ag vehicles. And there's a pilot to allow commercial drivers between 18 and 21 to drive across state lines. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.